As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show on the Louisville.am network. This is Rick Redding, your host, starting year two of this whole Rusty Satellite experiment. I tell you, I did the show for 52 straight weeks, and finally took a week off last week, and a little bit of a celebration, a little bit of a needed break. Carolyn Gaeta McLean was on here last week, and she was 2 weeks ago as my 100th guest, and which was a personal milestone. And also, you might check out, if you want to review the list of 100 guests, there's just a story published this week on Insider Louisville that I wrote about the list. It's gotten a lot of attention, and I appreciate all the kind words people have said. And, it also provides a great sort of a marking point there's plenty of news about Rusty Satellite alumni as we go through. Just this week, as a matter of fact, Business First published its 40 under 40 list. Now, I turned 40 when I was at Business First. They wouldn't let me be on that list. I really wanted to way back then. That was some years ago. But Rusty Satellite alumni Emily Gimmel, with her company Grace Ship, she made the list this year, as did Louisville.am Network's very own Stephanie White, who was just on here a couple of weeks ago talking about her Louisville Family Fun website. So all good news for those folks. And, the people that have been on the show are always making news or doing interesting things. And I guess that's why they got on the show. So anyway, here we are starting year two. This is show number 53. And this week I have two more interesting guests. You know, I coined the phrase the most interesting people in the Ville to describe what this show is all about. And this week I have in the second half of the show, you're going to stay tuned for Sherry White, who's a life coach. She has a healing company. It has a very neat story, sort of an interesting interview. And we talk a little bit about about the things that cause people to do bad things, and how they often need some help. I've got plenty of other stories to get to in the middle part of the show, but first, I was very interested in one of the bigger stories in a big week of things going on was that Judge John Hayburn here in Louisville ruled this week that upheld the Kentucky. He didn't upheld. He upheld the ban, the Kentucky gay marriage ban. He was declared unconstitutional. He upheld that, or whatever happened, you'll hear in the interview. I went to see Chris Hartman, who is the director of the Fairness Campaign, and so sort of been fighting this fight for some time now. I didn't realize until I went over there that the Fairness Campaign has been around for 23 years, and Chris has been the head of it for some, I think he said 5.5. But, you know, this thing caused a lot of debate, but I think less and less debate about gay marriage across the country. This is happening. These laws that were put in place in the 90s and the 2000s to prevent people of the same sex from marrying, they're kind of being upheld in the courts being found in the courts to be discriminatory. And you know, discrimination, you know, there are no fans of discrimination. I certainly don't think that you know, people who are gay should be discriminated against. I found out there's still a big fight ahead there. You know, discrimination is not over with, just like racism is not over with. And that's one of the things I talked to Chris about. And I found it to be very interesting conversation. The Fairness Campaign's office is over there on Frankfort Avenue. It's right across from Crave, if you've ever been to that that little place for lunch near Valari and all that cool stuff on Frankfort Avenue. They were having a sort of a celebration last night over there. But Chris was very forthcoming. He was a great interview. And here's what he had to say.
Hi, this is John Wirth of the Louisville Beer Podcast. Each Tuesday, John King, Scott Likens, and I bring you up to speed on the craft beer scene here in Louisville. We interview minor local celebrities, give you the scoop on upcoming events, and enjoy some finely crafted beers while we're at it. Find us online at LouisvilleBeer.com and catch the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Louisville.am.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is at the Fairness Campaign headquarters with Chris Hartman, who is, I don't know your title, Chris.
Director of the campaign,
and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
It's a big day in fairness world, right?
It's a big day in Kentucky, undeniably. Yeah. I'm sure you're referring to Judge Haburn's ruling in Love v. Bashir, which said that same-gender couples have a constitutional right to marry in Kentucky.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, for once on one of these issues, Kentucky's not the last state to get on board. We're somewhere in the middle, right?
Right. We're sort of pioneering on these court cases. We certainly weren't one of the first states to pass marriage. You're very right about that. So we're around the middle on this one, and a little ahead, a little behind in various areas.
Okay. So today's ruling, I want to get honest about this, but today's ruling means, are we going to start lining up? I saw somebody has a ceremony planned at a church, like, mm-hmm. right away, right? So is this immediately effective?
No. It has a stay that Judge Haburn placed on it, pending the outcome of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals case. The oral arguments are being heard in Cincinnati in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals on August the 6th, and we'll see a favorable response or favorable ruling there, and then we'll sort of move on to have that stay lifted, and then folks will be able to marry here in Kentucky.
Okay. Well, of course, I've been following the story and of course, you know, supporting this and all that, and really kind of made fun of some of the arguments. And let's just talk about the one that Bashir's lawyers had made, and we'll try to keep a straight face. But he said that it harm procreation, the gay marriage, something like that. I know you know it well.
Right, that there is an economic interest that the state has in preserving marriage between opposite gender couples. It's pretty ludicrous. It's offensive. It's embarrassing, frankly, for Kentucky. We weren't surprised that Governor Bashir appealed the ruling, but we were a little surprised that the arguments were so archaic.
Right, and there was a quote today from Judge Haburn, who said, and I know you know exactly what it was, but it was something about what serious
people.
These
are not the arguments of serious people, and we agree wholeheartedly.
Right.
We knew that Governor Bashir, you know, wasn't putting forth perhaps the best arguments, you know, in his heart of hearts, is he for same gender marriage, against it? No one may really know, but these were sort of frivolous arguments.
Yeah, it was almost like I heard somebody say he was trying to lose with such a ridiculous argument.
I mean, potentially there was a necessity for Governor Beshear to appeal, or someone, we feel, because the Senate had passed a bill this past session, Senate Bill 221. It was called the Senate Standing Bill. They passed it swiftly. That measure would have allowed for either the Senate President or the Speaker of the House to hire their own legal teams to defend any state law that had the constitutionality challenged. So if Governor Beshear had not appealed the original marriage decision, I feel certain that the House would have felt pressure to vote on the Senate standing bill, which would have opened up a Pandora's box, not just in this ruling, but in many in the future, to allow not just the Attorney General and the Governor, but also the Speaker of the House and the Senate President, all four of them, to have their own legal teams defending the right of whatever law has been challenged.
It's really complex legally. It seems so simple in real world terms. I mean, right. it's a basic rights, which gets me to, let's get beyond Habern's ruling now and talk about the fairness campaign a little bit.
Sure.
I had no idea it had been around so long.
Right. We just hit our 23rd birthday on June 29th. We were founded by 10 brave LGBT and allied Louisvillians in 1991. The campaign has worked hard to pass one of the first and most comprehensive fairness laws, anti-discrimination fairness laws in the South when they got Louisville's fairness ordinance passed in 1999, which said that you can't fire someone from a job, deny them a place to live, or kick someone out of a restaurant just for being LGBT. And the Fairness Campaign has really focused its work on passing those similar laws in other parts of the state and ultimately statewide is what we're looking for.
Okay, so you cover the state of Kentucky. Now, Chris, 23 years of Fairness Campaign, you don't look like you're 23. So well, when did you come on board, and what's your history?
Rick,
here?
Flattery will get you absolutely everywhere. I was at least alive when the Fairness Campaign was founded. I was hired as the campaign's first director in 2009. So I've been in the job for 5.5 years. If you'd have told me 5.5 years ago how much progress would have been made on the marriage front, on the anti-discrimination front in Kentucky, I may not have believed you. I knew that we were going to work as hard as possible to get there, but it's been surprising how much has happened in that time.
Sure. And your personal story, I mean, what were you doing? What's your path to get here? You went to high school here in Louisville.
Yeah,
right?
I'm a native Louisvillian. It was a circuitous path. I spent a lot of my life as an actor, as an improviser, that would bounce in and out of jobs. My first paid political position was as a canvasser, working for Jack Conway's first run for public office in 2002 when he was running against Ann Northup for that congressional seat. I ran a fundraising office, grassroots fundraising for the Democratic National Committee in Philadelphia for the 2004 presidential election. I'd just gotten my master's in drama, though, and then immediately moved back to Louisville from Washington University in St. Louis. I came back here in 2008 to be Congressman John Yarmus' campaign spokesperson for his 2008 reelection bid, also against Dan Northup, ironically. And then immediately following that, learned that the Fairness Campaign was searching for its first director, and it seemed to be the right fit.
Okay. Well, I think in a lot of movements like this, and I don't want to say the wrong thing here, but you know, it seems like that first fairness ordinance back in, what did you say,
99.
You know, it seems like so ridiculous now, 15 years later, to think that, you know, you just don't get away with discrimination like that. You know, and like a lot of the national media, you know, when they say, well, you know, racism doesn't exist anymore. But you must hear about and come across a lot of stories about discrimination still rearing its ugly head, right?
Oh, right. Unfortunately, discrimination still exists, which is why the fairness campaign still must exist. And even as marriage rights move forward in Kentucky and across the nation, folks will still be legally vulnerable to lose a job or be denied a visit at a restaurant just for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. So we still have a lot of work left to do. Recently, an Audubon Park police sergeant here in Louisville was terminated from his position because he was gay. He had endured months of harassment and disparate treatment. Fortunately, because we have the Fairness Ordinance in Louisville, the Human Relations Commission ruled on that one and found that, yes, indeed, he was terminated from his position because of his sexual orientation. But, you know, not too long ago in the city of Richmond, a lesbian couple taking maternity photos were ejected from a park because, quote, we don't like your kind here. And there's nothing legally that they can do about that, which is why fairness law that covers the entire Commonwealth of Kentucky is going to be necessary. We've passed 7 fairness ordinances in the state. 7 different cities have fairness laws, 4 of them in the past year and a half. And so we anticipate that the State House and State Senate are going to have to take these issues up soon. The House had their first ever hearing on the fairness law just this March. And I imagine that that we're going to continue to see more progress on that in the state.
So out there in the state, it's still
legal to fire someone, deny them a place to live, or kick them out of a restaurant just for being LGBT. Danville was the most recent city last month to pass a fairness ordinance outlawing that kind of discrimination.
Wow.
I know, wow. And most folks don't realize it. I mean, most people think, oh, certainly there are already state or federal protections, but there are only 21 states that have some type of statewide anti-discrimination protections. And of those 21 states, not all of them include gender identities. So trans folks aren't included in all of those laws either. So there's still a lot of work to be done even after the marriage debate ends in the courts. I mean, there's a judicial pathway to marriage where folks can actually make their voices heard is on the legislative pathway to anti-discrimination laws.
Yeah, well, I guess we're sort of insulated here. I mean, a similar path, I guess, to the smoking issue. You know, we're all used to going to restaurants here in town, and then you know, you go down to Bullitt County,
right,
you walk into Tumbleweed, and it's smoking or not smoking. It's really crazy. So, but you don't realize that there's a lot of discrimination still out there, and
it takes a lot of political will to change that situation. I mean, it's not been an easy thing for the legislature to address, even though public opinion, the vast majority of registered voters, 83%, according to a recent survey, are in support of the anti-discrimination protections. Still, less than 20% of the state's legislative body is in favor or has signed on to the statewide fairness law. Well, we won't know about the vote yet. So some of them may have the fortitude to cast a vote in favor of fairness, but they certainly haven't put their name as a co-sponsor on the legislation yet.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, Chris, really, thanks for filling in all of the Rusty Satellite audience in on this.
Sure.
It's a very important issue, I know, and it's always interesting to hear the work that's out there being
sure.
done.
I was excited to join you, Rick. Thank you.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Okay, and thanks again for Chris Hartman for accommodating me and welcoming me in over there at the Fairness Campaign headquarters. Got a lot of stories to get to. This, for those of you new to the show, this is the part of the show in the middle. I talk about some stories that are in the media, affecting media, things that just catch my eye that I either think are funny or weird or you know, I can make a joke about. But before we get to that, I want to talk about my vacation a little bit. I spent a lovely 4 days in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where you know, we got to play. I played some golf, and I got to stay in a sort of a seedy motel, a sleep in up there, and got to go on a hike in the mountains, and also got, you know, they talk about wildlife. We saw a bear up in the mountains and all that, but the real wildlife was the people walking down the streets in Gatlinburg. If you've ever been there, it's just quite a spectacle. It's a there's so many different types of people, and there's so many accents. We actually went on this thing. It was a company called Blue Green Vacations. They'll give you a free room if you listen to their 2-hour pitch to buy a timeshare. And so we did that, and it was just funny, all the accents down there. Even the salespeople, they, you know, I'm from Southeast Kentucky, that kind of thing. And this one says, "Hi, how are y'all? I'm from Pikeville." And that's Pikeville in Kentucky. And anyway, so it was a lot of fun. I did a lot of fun stuff while I wasn't doing the show, and had a good time. We also last weekend spent a lot of time up at Kentucky Speedway. You know, the big races were there, and it's just an amazing spectacle of you know, we talk about the people at Gatlinburg. There's a lot of people down there at Kentucky Speedway that are worth it just to sort of sit and watch and talk to them. You know, it's a heck of a sport. It's a heck of an event, the Kentucky Speedway racing. So they have that big racetrack up there in Sparta, and they only have races like twice a year, 3 days in June and 2 in September. So I really enjoyed my time up there, and you know, we'll be back in September. My company's involved in the racing business. So what's in the news? I'll tell you a couple of stories. I just got it. It might be a little dated, but this was in June 27th in the Courier Journal. As a journalist and media guy, you know, sometimes we like to, you know you're doing your job and making noise when you get, either you get people threaten to sue you about something you're writing, or they threaten bodily harm or whatever. But I don't know if you saw the story. It was written in a lot of places. A Courier Journal story was about Dale Romans, the trainer, and he got in a fight with the publisher of a backside publication known as Indian Charlie. This guy's name is Eddie Musselman, and it must have been quite a thing to see. This is the kind of story I would have loved to have written. You know, that Romans apparently, you know, had an ongoing feud with this guy. And Mr. Musselman had written the trainer was classless. And Romans says he's writing things that aren't true. And so eventually it just came out. A fight broke out. They had an actual fist fight on the backside. I'm not sure that any charges were filed or anything, but from the standpoint of the media and journalism, this guy must have crossed the line and really got in, got to Mr. Romans, and you know, it's really not a good thing to go around punching people who write things that you don't like. So anyway, I found that story. If you didn't hear about that, you can look that up. It's a really interesting story. Closer to home, closer to right here near the studio. You know, I hate to. You know, you grow up in Louisville. I guess if you're me, you learn that you hate to pay to park anywhere. And a story came out this week that the city's parking authority is raising its rates around town for parking at meters. And you know, I guess this is a necessary evil, but my opinion is that the whole thing about downtown is about the only place you have to pay to park. And if you go down to, it just discourages people from going down there because it's so hard to find a place to park. And then when you do, they've modernized it where you don't necessarily need coins anymore, but a lot of people don't trust putting their credit card in a meter. And now they're raising the rates. And, of course, they came out with all kinds of statistics to justify raising the rate. I think it went from $1.25 to $1.50 an hour at a meter. It was a small raise. But I was interesting. WFPL, did a little research, found an interesting tidbit of news that the parking meters that get the most action in terms of fines being written, you would think of somewhere downtown, somewhere where people have to get in and out of, but it's not. It's right here around the corner at our studios at Louisville.am on Dundee. If you know the little corner in the loop where the Heine Brothers is, and you know, you can just zip right in there and find a parking space and go into the Heine Brothers. Well, there's a meter right there, and the series of meters are the number one meters in the city for giving out tickets. So, interesting little trivial thing about Louisville. I did not know that. So. So there you go. So another story I wanted to get to was, you know, the big news in town is that this week, July 1st, was the official day for the University of Louisville to enter the Atlantic Coast Conference. And that means a lot of things are changing around here in terms of U of L athletics. It's all good, really. I was looking at the football schedule, you know, playing Florida State and Miami and Clemson and all those guys, it's certainly an upgrade. There's certainly a different mood around football this year than there was last year. Last year we were looking at, you know, gosh, our schedule's so bad, even if we go undefeated, we might not be number one. Well, we end up losing one game and, you know, didn't go to a major bowl. And I tell you, if they managed to pull off only losing one game this year, you know, make your reservations for New Year's. It's a really big thing in a lot of different ways, a lot of effects. There was a celebration downtown at 4th Street Live. There was a lot of media coverage involved. It's, you know, it's slow news time in the sports world. So the story of Louisville officially being part of the ACC grabbed a lot of the headlines this week. So that was something really interesting. In the coming weeks, I'm going to have a guest on here from U of L to talk about the ACC and what that means, and so we'll get to that. Don't worry, there's a lot of weeks to come on the Rusty Satellite Show. So anyway, those are the big stories that are dominating the headlines this week, and you know, I want to get on to my next guest, Sherry Whitehouse, who's a very nice young lady, really trying hard to make a difference in the lives of people, and I was really interested in talking about the media. If you look at the headlines in the newspaper, you know, I always wonder, and I've made fun of people, you're like, you know, Josh Young, the young 18-year-old who just can't seem to stay out of trouble. He judge told him not to make phone calls to his girlfriend. He called her 184 times. You know, there's all these stories about people who do stupid crime things, and they're often related to family problems, issues like jealousy, and then you throw guns or alcohol or drugs into the mix, and somebody ends up dead. And Sherry Whitehouse seems to know a lot of those stories. She works specifically with a lot of veterans groups. She's a life coach, and you know, I don't know that phrase was a part of the terminology of our society in the recent past, but yes, you know, that's an industry now, and that's what people are doing. And Sherry is very ambitious and determined. She gave up a good high paying job to go on her own and do this business. And so we had a nice talk about the business and about the things that she's trying to do to help people in the world. She's really on a mission. So here's my conversation with Sherry Whitehouse.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
In the studio today, I have Sherry Whitehouse, who runs a business that helps people. It's called
High Healing.
High Healing.
Healing spelled H-E-A-L.
Very nice. And I think it's, I find it, what I've learned about the business, very interesting, how you help people that have problems. And just give me a little brief background for our listeners of how you came to be doing what you're doing, Sherry.
Well, how I came to be doing what I'm doing today is really truly my very personal story of overcoming darkness and depression and living a life that wasn't intended. And one day I decided that, you know, I was going to figure this out and I was going to change it and truly push through and determine how to start living my life again. I think that was the biggest thing. I wasn't living. I was suffering. And I knew that there were so many others like me. And so once I decided that I was going to do this and change this, and Abel was to kind of, for lack of a better words, unlock the golden ticket or golden door, or find the key to the golden door of overcoming and being able to manage my life now.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, I mean, you were in the corporate world running, you know, you told me you had a nice salary, mm-hmm. nice benefits, perks, the thing that a lot of us do, you know, we're all beholden to the corporation or whatever.
Yeah.
And it gets to a lot of people, and I guess it got to you at some point. And what triggered your decision to do something different?
Well, I think you really get to a point sometimes whenever that almighty dollar isn't everything, and you truly search out, because I had all those things. I had the money, the career, the house, the dogs, the kids, the car, and was really sad and beat up in life. And so it just truly became one day where I decided to make a change, and that wasn't important to me anymore.
Okay, so let's skip ahead. You know, you made a change. You quit your job.
Quit my job. Resigned.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Resigned from your job and did what?
At that point, I bought a pair of pink high heels mm-hmm. to represent our
cool.
logo. Literally the day I resigned from my corporate 20-year IT career, I went home and bought a pair of pink high heels, knew that this dream of helping others was going to come to pass with purchasing these shoes and beginning to step into changing lives. And so I just started on a journey of building a dream of helping others heal. I came up with the name. Everything started on a 79-cent piece of poster board. Yep. And so here we are today, truly.
And since then, you're a little this is a little over a year ago, right?
Yes.
And you know, you've got a bunch of clients and making some money, I guess.
Yes.
I don't guess you've replaced that corporate salary though, right?
No, we are not we have not replaced the corporate salary in as far as money, but what I have now, when someone comes to me and say, you know, they say, because of you, I'm living and you've helped me change my life, that there's no salary.
Sure. It's there's, quality of life.
It's the quality of life, and that fulfilled a place within me that, you know, I struggled with for years. So, I was able to really let go of that place of needing to have all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just about fulfillment of helping others be in this exact same place. I know that there's people that struggle. I know that people, they have dreams and desires that they want to pursue. And that's how I help them. I mean, I just help them. I give them tools and techniques on how to slowly. So many people, you know, they buy into these things of, oh, we're going to change everything in 30 days. It's just, you know, everything about high healing is authentic. So we don't make these promises, and it's truly about being in a place of wanting to go forward.
Well, as a media guy, and you know, I pay attention to what's in the news, and it always strikes me, I guess, and sometimes on the show, I've sort of made fun of people, because by the time it gets to the point that you make the news, you know, your life is, you know, some these people that may seem normal, but they're on drugs, or they're getting drunk and crashing their cars, or
right.
they're beating their spouse, or they're exhibiting all these bad behaviors that get them on the news and in jail, you know, unfortunately.
Right.
And I guess, are you trying to intervene? I guess I guess my question for you is, how do people get that far down the road?
Well, I think that there's a lot of emotional trauma that happens a long time ago. When I see things like that on the news, it is so heartbreaking to me. I mean, suicides or killings and those kinds of things, because for me, the way I see people, like, there's just a struggle and pain, and no one's cared enough to say, it can be better, you can get help, and there is someone. I want to use my face and my story to really provide people hope, because they get in a place where they don't have hope anymore. Mm-hmm. And when you take hope from people, you take everything. So when I hear those stories, it's so saddening to me, because it's just really about, and I can't change billions of people, but my mission statement is, if I can reach one, if I help one person, you help many, because then it branches out. If you can reach mm-hmm. one, if you can provide them hope, then they get help, and then their children get help, their spouses get help. So it's just, all that stuff comes from a level of pain.
Yeah. Give me an example. I know you work with veterans a lot. And I mean, is there some sort of typical patient that you see, that and what do you specifically do for them? Is it like X number of meetings or what?
We offer sessions. We offer group. We do conferences. So usually someone comes to me and they're in a struggle. They're in that place of wanting to feel better. And so immediately we have an initial consultation where we sit down and we talk about where they're at, and I want to make sure that, I'm at a level that can help them. I've had people that have been on the verge of suicide, immediately got them help because I'm connected in that world of mental health. So and then that person went on to soar today. And sometimes somebody just needs somebody to talk to. So that initial consultation, we always have, a one-on-one, where are you at? What do we need to do immediately to get you help, to get you feeling better? Mm-hmm. So, and then we go from there, and we offer packages and those kinds of things.
Okay, so this is counseling, basically.
It is counseling.
And you don't have to have, or do you have... degrees or
not
like
as
that.
A life coach, you don't have to have a mental health psychology degree. I always tell people, they say, well, what's your qualifications? And I always say, I mean, I've lived it, I've walked uh-huh. the walk, I know and studied for years and read hundreds of books on how to do this. So it's amazing to me how people can come to me, and I think what I provide is people don't even want to go to make the appointments. People are not going and getting help mm-hmm. because they're ashamed, they're fearful, they're afraid. But what I want to provide is a face that I know whenever I sit with someone and they're in pain, I connect with them at that level. Okay. I know what they're feeling. So,
well, you were talking to me a little bit before about shame being a big thing in our society.
Huge.
I guess I connect that to people having more pressure to look like you're doing something cool. And like, that's what I really think Facebook is all about. It's all about showing people, look at me at this place where I was acting cool with these cool people.
Yes.
And I don't have any problems.
And it's not the truth. We're all suffering. It's exactly. Just the biggest secret is that we all suffer and we all keep it a secret.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we've all got those skeletons, those things we're ashamed of. I say, well, there's things you do that are embarrassing. You don't want to tell the world about that, but wouldn't it be funny if Facebook was like a truth serum?
I've thought about, hey, let's create a real book, let's create a real book, and like, people can really be honest, and then they can feel better about themselves. Because what I found is, once you get around a group of people and you start listening to other people struggle, it really makes you realize yours isn't so bad. When you get into people that are really in some places that are, and had tremendous amount of abuse and emotional trauma, and then you're like worried about, which brand name pants you're going to wear. I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah, you worry about what your friends are going to think, right?
Exactly.
And that's, I think that's something that, well, I hope, with me, as I've gotten older, I worry maybe a little bit less about what people think. I think some people would say I've never really cared. But, you become your own person, and you either become comfortable in your skin.
Yes.
Or you don't, right?
Yes, and I am a big advocate of being comfortable in your own skin because, you know, when we put ourselves out there, we're just trying to meet an expectation of something that someone out there created. Like, I'm always like, who says? Like, who says we have to look that way? Who says we have to dress this way? What if we could all just be us and concentrate on our gifts?
Yeah, wouldn't that be good?
Yeah,
just do whatever we want to.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to
do. It actually is, if if you can push through the fear and get past letting go of that income, you would be surprised at, the benefit that it brings. It's amazing.
Well, very good. Well, very good. Well, Sherry, appreciate you coming by the studio and visiting with me. Give you a chance to tell our audience how to get hold of you or how to find your business.
Yes, they can go online at Sherry Whitehouse. It's spelled Sherry Whitehouse.com. All of my information, my story, services, how you can connect with me, everything is on that website. I invite you to come and visit, and we would love to reach out and connect and help as many as we can.
All right, Sherry, thanks for coming by the studio. That was a really great conversation to have, and really appreciate that. It's certainly gets you thinking about, for those of us that don't have major problems, and I tell you, I don't. I'm in a great mood today, and I haven't told you yet about my move. I'm leaving the apartment life world and moving to a nice little house in Jeffersontown, and I want to tell you, my real estate agent is Bob Zakoler. And Bob's a former Rusty Satellite guest. And, you know, I'm just going to tell you some of the things about working with Bob that's great. And what I'd like to talk to you today, because as you're listening to this, I am signing the papers and closing. And one of the services that Bob offers that very few others do is that if you buy a house or sell a house with him, Bob has a truck, a nice big box truck, very clean, that you can use for free. No additional charge. So it's saving me a bunch of money in terms of my moving expenses. I'm going to move on. I'm going to use it on the 4th of July in the morning. You're welcome to come join me. And that's just one of the ways that Bob has saved me money on this transaction. It's really amazing how it's all come together. I'm really looking forward to moving in the house. So if you're looking for a real estate agent, call Bob Zakoler. 367-5483 is his phone number. And, Bob's hands-on. He's not some highfalutin guy who assigns everything to a staff. He was just out with me today going through our final walkthrough, and really enjoyed working with Bob and on the house. Now, leaving apartment living, I'll just tell you one small story is, these apartment complex, the one I was living in, is owned by a corporation, and, there's not much personal touch. The thing that sort of ticked me off. I will tell you this: if you're going to rent an apartment, and I'm saying I made the mistake, but read the fine print on your lease and know the rules, because I got a notice that my lease was up, and I waited a couple of days. I said, oh, okay, well, when the lease is up, I'll just move out, and that'll be in it. I'll let them know here in a few days. Well, in addition to the lease running out, you have to give them a 60-day notice, even if your lease is up. So, it's going to cost me a few hundred dollars for not going and telling them 60 days in advance that I was going. And shame on me, right? Shame on me. But anyway, that's the worst thing that's gone on in this whole moving and transition to a new home. I'm really looking forward to it. It's my new place is right near the heart of Jeffersontown, and all my old friends over there. Maybe I'll start blogging about J-Town again, like I did a few years ago. I'm really excited to be getting back there. I lived over there a long time ago before I moved to Highview, and then I moved to Linden, and now I'm coming back to J-Town. So anyway, that's fun. So that's going to wrap up another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I really enjoy doing the show, and thank you for listening. Our download stats are way up. I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, and Bob Zakoler for helping make the show possible, and certainly advise you to take a look at the story on Insider Louisville about the 100 most interesting folks in the Ville. I'm really working hard on getting a new project going along those lines. and you'll hear about that here on the show. So until next time, this is Rick Redding, host of the Rusty Satellite Show, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.